This is an Audio Wool original.
This episode of Fright Day is brought to you by Springheel Jack Coffee. You need great coffee. Jack delivers. Visit springheeljack.coffee.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. If you'd like to support us, go to patreon.com/frightday.
Let's see if she'll pick up. Come on, Kelly.
I'm trying to get the music back.
Oh, hey, Kelly. It's Byron, the co-host of your podcast, Fright Day.
Are you going to record a quick thing where you say Kelly failed at life? And
well, Kelly,
or can we maybe say that, like, maybe? Okay, so we are on the lake where Flatty is.
Okay.
And it's possible that Flatty stole my SD card.
Kelly, what the heck happened?
Only you will call me and blindside me with a recording without warning.
If you're going to lose content, I'm going to find a way to get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
Are you? So you're on a lake right now on a boat?
Am I? Yes, I am. I'm looking at Flathead Lake, and we're near the portion of Flathead Lake where Flatty, the Flathead Monster, is supposed to be.
Fantastic. On your way there, what happened? You pulled out the
Monster came across the street. We rolled down the window. You know how, like, tourists do with the bison in Yellowstone? We did that with Flatty, and she stuck her head in, and she grabbed the SD card out of my hand, and she ran away before I could get it.
The SD card containing the recording for episode 254.
The Lost Episode. Hey, that sounds like the name of a horror movie.
What, episode 254?
No, The Lost Episode.
You're not certain it's gone.
Not to be confused with the next episode.
And you're not certain that it's...
That awesome song. Can I sing?
No, no, absolutely not. You're not certain that it's gone, but for now... We're gonna... So, Kelly, you're on the...
Yeah, I mean, it could be at home. Sam put forth a valiant effort trying to find it, but he just texted me and told me that there's a rotting cucumber corpse in the sink that he's dealing with, so he's not very happy with me about that.
No.
And his cell phone's on the fritz, and now he's got to get a new phone, but there are no Google phones, so he has to buy an Apple, Byron.
He's
so
not going to do that.
No, he's actually going to.
I do have your end of the recorded audio. It is of lower quality. So what we're going to do is wait until you get back from your research trip.
It is research.
All right. Well,
it is research.
No matter if we have to use the bad audio or you find this SD card in the belly of a lake monster, almost like a Jonah and the whale type situation, I want you to dive in there, grab it. We're going to have episode 254.
I prefer Judah and the Lion to Jonah and the Whale, but okay.
I'm more of a Noah and the Whale guy. But in the meantime, since I'm actually out of town for a couple days next week too, Kelly.
Oh, I'm so proud of you,
yeah,
B.
It's fine.
Are you going on a research trip too?
We could call it that. We're going to air one of the 10 lost episodes, all of which are available to Fright Day Screamium subscribers at patreon.com/frightday. I picked a good one. Haven't heard it in a while. Episode 8, The Town That Dreaded Sundown Remake.
I remember liking that movie.
I think we had a good time with it.
I just remember you telling me that I sounded even worse then than I do now. So,
I mean,
you got an ant in your hair, cute pea.
Me?
Creech, you got an ant in your hair.
Okay. It should be a good one, a nice film to watch for the summer. And I'm so sorry that Kelly did this to you, but yeah, all of
I am very sorry too. But I made my children, Creature and Pukwudgie, made friendship bracelets to try and lure in Flatty.
Uh-huh.
And they floated the friendship bracelets off the dock the other day. And so we're really hoping to get Flatty back in here with the friendship bracelets so that we can get the SD card.
Get them all practiced up, because we should send everyone that signs up for our digital Camp Fright Day a friendship bracelet. In their camp package.
I mean, I love friendship bracelets.
All right. Well, more information about that soon. I'll let you get back to it, and we will go ahead and start playing episode 8. I hope you guys enjoy it. Hope you're having a good summer so far.
Yeah, I hope you are too.
Until next Fright Day, here's Fright Day, episode 8. What are you doing?
Thank you.
episode 8. I'm your host, Byron, and tonight we're going to be reviewing a film, a sequel, a remake? Who knows? The Town That Dreaded Sundown, 2014. I'm joined tonight with just a group of guys.
Just a bunch of dudes.
Kelly and Sam.
Hi, hey, guys.
Nice duel. We got them out of the way at the same time.
Hello.
Well, let's catch up. How have you been, Sam?
I have been so good. Cool. Just fantastic.
Have you done anything horror-related this week?
Well, there's the mess that you saw in the basement.
That's scary. I'll help you out with that.
Yep, thank you.
It's not even funny. You guys are idiots.
Oh, buddy. But on a cinematic front, I watched Grabbers, finally. It's been on my Netflix queue forever, and I loved it.
Irish, again.
Yes. Yep. Like the canal. Except good.
So mean.
No, I liked Canal.
It was a great creature feature. I couldn't have been more excited and pleased with how it turns out, because I went into it with no expectations.
Is it spoiling it to say what the... Yeah.
I think there's not much you can say that doesn't spoil it.
Okay. If you like creature movies and don't like serious horror, maybe check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else?
I think everything else I watched was with Kelly, so I'm going to let her fill in the details on whatever else it was.
Kelly, how's your week? What'd you watch?
My week was fantastic. I'm actually really freaked out right now. There's this brand new video that just broke.
Breaking news?
UFO. So I was just trying to... Sorry. I was a little distracted, but...
Kelly's actually watching UFO videos during the intro.
Well, it literally just broke 12 minutes ago on Huffington Post. On HuffPo.
Well, let's do something.
HuffPo, as they say in the industry.
We'll do something that is unprecedented here on Fright Day. Let's start...
Foundations are shaking.
Let's start Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
It's kind of exciting. This just popped up on Huffington Post, so I'm trying to watch it. I don't know a ton about it, but it appears that there may have been a UFO caught on live television. We'll post this on our site, but the news just broke literally 10
You should
minutes
describe
ago.
It because I at least am never going to watch it.
Okay, so there's a guy on BBC standing in a field, and behind him you can see a silvery object float across the sky and disappear into the clouds. It's rather interesting. And it was live TV, so...
On the BBC.
Yeah.
So did it have two wings?
Shows what appears to be a strange light appearing in the distance as a man is talking
was
to
the
camera.
Sun?
No, it was not the sun. Don't be an idiot.
Okay.
It could be a lot of different things, but it's really interesting. And like I said, no time to explore this one because it just came
out. What's your expert opinion?
My expert opinion is it's not like a... You know, this isn't the smoking gun. It's not like you can see all the detail. But the fact that it was on BBC News and people saw it live means that it wasn't faked, at least. But it still could very easily be some error from the camera or some weird light reflection. So we'll see what people who actually know how to analyze things say after this has been out for a little while longer.
Well, do you want to kick back and talk about what you watched this week? Or do you want to continue Cryptids and Conspiracy?
I don't know, boss man. What should I do?
Let's bounce back real quick and we'll come back to the rest of your nonsense stories.
I'm not even...
Okay.
I'm not even... No.
Yeah?
They're not nonsense. They make sense. They're just lies.
Kelly, what you watch this week?
We watched some more X-Files. We're picking up again where we left off there. So what are we, Sam? Like, almost to the seventh season?
No one wants to hear any more about our X-Files adventures.
What else did you watch?
I watched all sorts of things. What did you watch?
I watched Grabbers with you, but that was the only one you talked about.
You were kind of in and out, though.
What else did we watch? We tried to watch Wreck, but that didn't work. Wreck 2 we tried to watch, not Wreck.
Oh, and
Wreck
we should explain 2. Why we're not watching Wreck.
Yeah. We were unable to watch the first two Wrecks, unfortunately.
That's okay. Well, next week, we're watching Wreck 4.
Yes.
You guys can do that?
Yeah.
So Sam and I will take the time to watch
Wreck. I just didn't want you to watch Wreck 4 if you haven't seen Wreck 2 or 3.
I mean, do we really need to watch 3, though? I hear 3 is really bad. Should we just watch 2?
We'll watch both of them.
I think you should watch 3 just because it's...
Okay. Well, it's part of my New Year's resolutions to try and be more critical. So maybe if I watch 3, it'll give me something that I can give a critical review to.
I'm looking forward to that review.
Okay.
Because 3 is an interesting movie.
Okay.
I think a lot of people are divided on it, so it'll be interesting to see where you stand.
All right. And the other thing I watched a lot of this week was the live feed from the International Space Station.
You're still on that.
Yeah, I literally had it on in the background on my computer, and I'd be like listening to Spotify, and suddenly I'd hear these weird voices. I'm like, what the fuck? What is that? And then I realized it was just the International Space Station, and people were talking and giving guidance to those astronauts floating around, and it was really good. I haven't seen any UFOs live yet, but I'm waiting.
Any astronauts?
Yes.
Cool. That's cool. That's really good.
Yeah, in the space station. Wow.
Yeah.
I watched some things this week.
What'd you watch, Byron?
I watched Mockingbird, finally, which is a Bloom House picture that I feel like I heard about it, and then it completely disappeared, and then it showed up on Netflix, which is always not necessarily a good sign for Bloom House films.
Why?
Because I'll tell you about it on Frightday.com when I write the review.
Oh.
It's called a tease.
That was yuck.
It was pretty bad.
That was pretty yuck.
I was actually going to fire it up on my phone right now.
Yeah.
But I might wait until I read your review.
Well, it's a raw found footage film.
What do you mean by raw? Like unedited or like
raw,
gruesome?
Like, no, like not gruesome even, just the way they shoot it. I feel like a lot of them are like crystal clear now. Yeah, like Willow Creek.
Oh, I see what they you mean. Good. So it actually looks like found footage.
It's gritty, and I think that's why initially it sucked me in. It's cool. It feels scarier, darker, more like the original stuff.
Okay.
And I think it's fun to watch if you want to suspend disbelief from the beginning. And
I think you have to do that. Movies like that.
We know how Kelly feels about suspending disbelief. Well,
I enjoy life more than you do, so whatever.
Well, then you'll enjoy this film. I also watched P2, a fun little story.
Yeah, it's a great one. It's a Christmas one.
It is a Christmas movie.
Nothing. That's a stretch.
No, it is.
It takes place on Christmas Eve / Christmas.
Straight. Okay.
It's fun. It's nothing new. I put it on while I was working. It was cool enough. I think that's all I watched.
That's pretty good, though.
It's better than last week.
Yeah, I feel like good that's run. Good. I'm the one that fell down this week. I failed. Sorry,
I started Black Mirror.
That series looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's a BBC series.
Oh, I love the Beeb.
They call it like a modern day Twilight Zone.
Black Mirrors.
Do you want to hear the plot of the first episode?
Yeah, where is it?
I would love to.
So wait, hold on. Is each episode different like Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
Okay, and what? Where are you watching it?
It's on Netflix. Okay. The first season, I think 6 episodes.
Sam, we got to check this out. Sam, put it on our list.
Episode 1.
It's on my list.
It's queued. It's already
on my list.
Episode 1 starts out, a prime minister wakes up to a cell phone call. He comes downstairs and his team's assembled. There's a YouTube video of one of the, she's not a princess, she's a duchess? I don't know.
I
want
to be a policeman, I want to be a princess.
She got kidnapped during the night, and the kidnapper says, he makes her read a statement that says, if the prime minister doesn't fuck a pig on live television before 4 p.m., they'll kill her.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It seems like a reasonable demand.
Pretty intense. It's a fun watch. I think 45-minute episodes.
You sold me.
I haven't started any of the other episodes. I hope they're all as dark and weird as that is, but that's all I've watched.
That's not...
That's good. That's good. A good run.
Very good, yeah. Scary stuff this week.
Look at you. You're the shreepy one now. You hear that?
I was just... Yeah, I was... Yeah,
yeah
I
was... Yeah.
I'm a bit shreepy.
There's a difference between yawning and then actually falling asleep into the mic.
Yeah, you fell asleep into the mic 3 times last week.
I did not. Mm-hmm. I did not.
Way to wake you up. There's a couple news stories this week that we should probably talk about.
So many.
It's been a cool week.
Lots of good news. Okay, so this happened towards the beginning of the week, but I still want to talk about it because I think it's really neat, and I'm hoping we're going to hear more about it. But I think everybody following horror stuff saw that Neil Blomkamp.
Cool name.
Yeah. The guy that did District 9 posted a bunch of concept art for an alien movie he was apparently working on, but is no longer working on. And it looks like it was going to be some kind of a bridge between where Aliens left off and where Alien 3 picks up, but there's a lot of questions surrounding whether he was just doing this for fun or whether he was actually involved in an official project and was let go. So I'm hoping we'll hear more about it.
Some really cool concept sketches, though, either way.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
I'm just reading. It says it's posted from an unverified account.
Yes, from an Instagram that they're not sure actually belongs to him.
But he has come out and said a couple things about it since then, I believe. Because he like made some statement that whatever company owns rights to Alien did not have me, you know.
I kind of wish that he was doing this.
I know.
Because it looks really cool. I really wish he was.
I agree. It looks amazing. And I know they're working on a sequel, essentially sequel to Prometheus, I think, is the idea. So another prequel to Alien. But this is a completely different thing than that, or at least it appears to be. So then my favorite news story of the week involves one of my favorite non-horror movies, actually my top five movies ever. And this isn't just me being hyperbolic. It's actually one of my favorite movies. So the director of Drive, and any of you who haven't seen Drive, it's not horror, but you should all go see it anyway because it's amazing.
Isn't that like Gone in 60 Seconds?
Yeah, and I think, is it Nick Cage or is it Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
I think The Rock.
It's amazing. It is one of the best. It is, I would describe it as a Western film, except set in LA and with amazing acting.
Hands down, one of the best movies of all time. The marketing for that movie was so fucked up.
Yeah, it made it look like a Gone in 60 Seconds. It really did.
One of my friends drugged me to it on the opening night, and I was like, I don't want to watch this. I've seen Gone in 60 Seconds. I've seen Fast and the Furious. Yeah. I don't like driving movies.
But I saw it four times in the theater.
Unreal.
It was amazing. So anyhow, that director is now set to direct a horror movie set back in L.A. where Drive was set. And a lot of people really enjoyed his depiction of L.A. It was very artsy, the way it was shot. And so Neon Demon is the name of this movie. And this week, that was announced a while ago. This week, they announced that Elle Fanning.
Love her.
Yeah, she's pretty good. She was decent in Maleficent. Is going to be his lead in it. So for the description of the movie, makes it sound something like a hybrid of anybody who's read Glamorama by Bret Easton Ellis and anybody who's seen Starry Eyes, which we reviewed last week.
2 weeks?
2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, sorry. So it appears to be kind of a mix between those two concepts, which are two of my favorite fiction pieces. So I'm really excited to see it. Yeah, yeah. Those are my big non-cryptid news for this week.
Your bigs of the week.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if I got something. I mean, we all like Jordan Peele, right?
Well,
I hate their show.
Yeah, their show's really bad, but I'm still willing to give him a chance.
I think the horror stuff they do on their show, especially this season, they've done some like sci-fi bits and some horror bits that I think you guys would really dig.
I stopped watching, so I will check it out because I feel bad.
I am probably not going to.
I'm going to make you. But it looks like Jordan Peele says he's working on a movie that's going to be a horror movie, which is very exciting. I've heard him on several podcasts talk about how much of a fan he is of the genre. He's talked with, like, he was on the Movie Crypt with Adam and Joe. Adam Green and Joe Lynch. So he knows what he's doing.
Well, I know he said something about how he's done comedy for the first part of his career, but what he's always really wanted to do is direct horror. Apparently, horror is his love even beyond comedy. So I don't know. Maybe he is cooler than he
seems. Yeah, I think it looks like he's getting his chance. He's working on a movie called Get Out through Darko Entertainment. What have they done?
I don't know, actually. I have no idea.
Sam, Google real quick while I talk. He says he doesn't want to say too much about it, but it's one of the very, very few horror movies that does jump off of racial fears. So I think that's interesting.
Well, especially good timing. I mean, if they can churn that out pretty quickly, there's obviously a pretty big...
Get those Ferguson seeds.
Well, okay, I just
is
mean...
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that it's a hot topic right now. Everybody's discussing it.
Bad Words, The Box... World's Greatest Dad.
The Box was real bad, but you love Southland World's Greatest
Tales,
Dad.
And Donnie Darko, which makes sense.
That does make sense.
Donnie Among other things.
Amazing.
That's Darko Productions, or Darko Entertainment.
Doesn't look like he shares too much, but I'm sure it'll be cool. He's talked a lot about Rosemary's Baby and the classics, so I think...
Oh, good. Good.
It won't just be a slasher, like violent gore mess, especially through Darko films. They usually do a lot
some
more.
Some cerebral elements to it.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
I trust that Jordan Peele.
All right, good. I'll take your word for it.
Anything else? We watched some trailers. We could go to trailer news real quick.
What do you got? Sorry, I just I think simultaneously some fantastic and rather devastating news. Amazon was picking up a whole new slew of series, and among them, Chris Carter's apocalyptic drama, The After, was basically a certainty that Amazon was going to pick it up. I was really excited for this. It's kind of the first significant work he's done since The X-Files and Millennium, I think. So super excited for it. And lo and behold, just today, I believe, they announced they are not picking up his series, but they are picking up Guillermo del Toro's fantasy series, A Killing on Carnival Row. So I guess some potential balm for the wound there. But that sounds like fantasy, so I won't talk about it.
It does sound like fantasy. It sounds like Guillermo's going to be busy. He's got The Strain and this.
And Crimson Peak.
Crimson Peak. I keep wanting to call it Crimson Tide.
Has Amazon really had a hit yet? They did Transparent, which got pretty.
And they've been pushing.
Critical review.
Yeah,
Transparent. I don't know.
They had the Zombieland show for a minute.
I didn't see that.
It didn't work. But there's always a chance that Chris Carter could take that show somewhere else.
That's true. I don't know how the rights are working on it or what, but
I'm sure anyone entering into that would leave it open for like Netflix or like The Killing has been canceled twice and just keeps putting out seasons. I think they did their last season on Netflix.
I would, I would hope that the budget issue of anything that Chris Carter does wouldn't be something that prevents it from getting picked up.
Seriously. Well, it's amazing.
Here's hoping, right,
yeah.
guys?
Yeah. It's always
okay,
hope.
So Sam, was that all of yours?
Oh, and one more quick thing. This is news today. The Purge 3 was just announced. It's going to be out July 1st, 2016. So this is the first time it hasn't been a yearly event.
This is happy news.
It is happy news. It would be happier better if it was coming out this year.
One of the few movies where the sequel was better than the original, in my opinion.
I agree completely.
Absolutely.
I think Anarchy was a blast.
So much fun.
I wonder what they're going to do with this third one. It's the same same writer as the first two, and they think the same director. It's the
but
same
not
guy.
Confirmed. Okay.
It hasn't been confirmed, yeah.
Huh. So before we leave and go to trailers, I have kind of a really cool Cryptids and Conspiracies corner this evening because...
Do you want to roll the music again? We'll do it quick. I'll speed it up. It'll be funny.
I don't like my music being sped up. I feel like you're rushing the
but
most
it already
essential
played earlier.
Piece. Yeah, well, that's fine. It should play through the
play
whole
it.
Show. It should be what the show is about.
We'll slow it down 1,000 times and it'll just be like a
this should be like
ambulance.
Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies with a side dose of...
Can we just play the carnival music?
Dumbass reviews from Byron and Sam. Okay, anyhow, so two stories in Cryptids and Conspiracies tonight. Both of them, interestingly, bleed over into film news as well. So, first story... a movie that's certainly not going to be some big hit, but it is debuting at the end of January, so coming right up here in Australia, and it's called The Quarantine Hauntings, and it's based on an actual supposedly haunted location, and this isn't just one of those viral video campaigns on the internet like they did for Blair Witch and tons of found footage films since. There actually are... groups that give tours, ghost tours of this location. It was used as a quarantine house for, I guess, I don't know what disease people had.
It looked kind of smallpoxy in the
trailer. Could be smallpoxy, but this place has been featured on Ghost Hunters International.
Really reliable sources.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, it's not made up
true
for the
academics.
Movie. No, time out. I'm saying it's not made up for the movie, is the point. Like, there actually
and that's
are...
appreciated.
Yeah. So there are real stories and tons of photographs and tons of little videos of things that people have seen here. And when you go and do the tour, apparently, like, you can actually do the extreme ghost tour and spend the night there, which I think I would never do because it's way too
scary. I would be
curious
to hear what Zach Bagans has to say about
all
this. Okay,
unfortunately, Ghost Adventures has not been there, merely Ghost Hunters International. But I haven't seen the lineup for Bagans this season, so maybe they go there. I don't know. Anyhow,
Kelly,
so that's pretty cool.
Can I talk to you real quick? Can we level? Why don't you want to see a ghost? I feel like you...
Because I'd be super scared. It's like I'm totally fascinated by them, but they scare me to death.
Well, it's just weird because like I am more than willing to put myself in the most ridiculously dangerous situations involving potential ghosts.
But you're not afraid of ghosts. I am. That's the big difference.
Well, because I haven't seen anything yet.
No, because you don't believe in them.
I believe in physical things like witches. Remember all those witches when I was in Salem?
Those weren't witches. Those were gangbangers.
They were something.
They were no good teens.
I think I'm just a complete scaredy cat.
I don't know. I want to go and investigate these things and do these weird things. But if you're not going to go, what's the point? Well,
I mean, I'll go. I'll just like...
You're going to sit in the taps van?
I'll freak out. And then I'll run out and I'll hide in the car and I'll watch Harry Potter to make myself not scared.
Can this be a New Year's resolution for you? You have to be scared several times this year.
I'm scared almost daily.
Oh, well, but really almost scared.
Almost daily. I'm really scared probably weekly. Like, you don't understand. Like, from watching Paranormal Activity, I will wake up in the middle of the night and stare at our bedroom door for like 45 minutes wondering, did I hear something? If I had like... baby powder on the floor right now, or there'd be footprints in it.
Don't powder the floor.
So for you, basically, life is exactly like it was for our ancestors 20,000 years ago, where there was a loud noise and
yes, I'm gods. I'm very much in touch with my ancestral roots. Yes.
So the very primal state.
So I mean, I will go to places with you guys. I will not do the Ouija board thing because on the off chance that that is actually real, that is not cool, and I don't want to be bringing shit into this
house. You're not going to Ouija, huh?
No, I will not Ouija.
I just want to get you scared on the podcast.
Oh my God, please don't do that because it'll be really embarrassing. And I'll scream.
You should be embarrassed to be so scared.
I think it traces back like when I had sleepovers when I was a little kid. I don't know if you guys ever did this, but like you'd camp out in the backyard with your friends. We did this all the time. We'd sleep in a tent and my dad would come out and tell us like ghost stories and then would go inside and then come out in the middle of the night and scare the shit out of all of us.
I love your father.
That's fantastic. I never did that. I just scared my sister.
Yeah. So now I'm scared of everything. And my parents used to do this thing on St. Patrick's Day morning. We would set up a trap for leprechauns. We would come downstairs. And the problem is one year I saw part of a leprechaun movie at one of my friends' houses and suddenly realized that this whole leprechaun thing was horrible and we should not want to trap one of these things because they're terrible. And when we came down that year, he had torn up the entire house. So obviously my parents, but like everything was like tipped upside down and there was crap everywhere.
I don't know if you can say that.
And so, like that scared me for like a month. I was terrified for a month because I was worried there was a scary leprechaun hiding somewhere in our house.
They're only around in March. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, in March and in Ireland all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got a lot of fears. I think it's all rooted in my childhood. My best friend that was a real right-wing Christian.
So we're not really that kind of a podcast.
Why?
Where you just get on the couch and tell us about why you're so screwed up.
I mean, we could pepper it in.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, that's probably the worst, though.
No, it's all terrifying.
Like, Taylor told me that the devil lived under my bed because I wasn't baptized, and I fully believed him for at least 5 years.
That's a bit much.
Yeah, I was completely, completely terrified. I stopped sleeping in my bedroom. It was horrible. So I've got a lot of, like, deep-seated psychological issues surrounding being scared. And it's probably some type of a statement about my level of masochism that I actually like watching horror movies because...
This makes me feel even worse for your parents than I did before.
You're just, like, walking the line of...
Yeah, like, but I'm like, that's why... I'm not kidding you. When we watch scary movies about ghosts or aliens, like, I get legitimately terrified.
It's true. It's terrible. It makes things miserable for me. Well, like when we get home from the theater. Oh.
But that is the point of scary movies.
Yeah. I enjoy them to the maximum level they're supposed to be enjoyed, I think.
See, I don't ever really get scared.
Oh, boy, I do. Fun.
But you get some good pointers.
Right. But let's just be honest. Like, I get a more manic and intense experience out of it than you do.
You do. Kelly, you have another news story.
Okay, sorry. My bad. So my second news story, which is, you know, slightly more interesting possibly. I still think the quarantine hauntings is interesting, but the second one.
I think it looks bad. I didn't say that.
Okay.
I think it looks like a bad film.
So any people who are into UFOs or aliens to any significant degree, probably the second most famous incident just behind Roswell are the Phoenix Lights.
I've heard about them.
See, even Byron's heard about the Phoenix Lights. So there's a new viral video.
They happened in Tuskegee, didn't they?
Oh my God. There's a new viral video campaign out for a new film. The film's called The Phoenix Incident, based on the real life Phoenix Lights that were seen. There's a video campaign going for it right now. Tons of viral seeds that are being planted all over online. And it's screening, I think, next week in LA. for buyers, so hopefully it gets picked up. The guy who directed it is actually a pretty well-established video game director. He did Call of Duty and shot this movie last year.
Wait, he did Call of Duty, the video game?
Yeah, he's a video game director. He directed Call of Duty. And then he shot this movie last year, and there's some foreign distribution deals already. So hopefully next week when it screens in LA, it'll get some distribution locked in for the States. I'm really excited because Phoenix Lights, I think, have not been explored nearly as much as they should have.
Is that the basketball team there?
The WNBA franchise.
Phoenix Lights.
Okay. Yeah. So it happened in 1997. It happened in March, just a couple days before my birthday in 1997. And literally thousands of people, including the governor, claim to have simultaneously witnessed this triangular set of lights flying over Phoenix.
It's like a fleet.
Yeah, and there are literally thousands of photographs and plenty of videos and so many simultaneous witness accounts that it can't just be written off as crazy people. There's, you know, it's one of those that I think lends a lot of credence to the existence of some type of unidentified flying craft. Again, who knows? Maybe it is our own Air Force.
That's my guess.
That it's you know, things government. That it very well could be. But I'm really excited for the Phoenix incident. I'm looking forward to hearing how next week's screening goes and whether it gets picked up because I really, really want to see it.
My favorite thing is when the governor came out to make a statement about it, he brought out a man dressed as an alien.
Yeah.
What did that mean?
Well, I think it meant that he was probably embarrassed about the fact that he had said something and like was catching some PR flack, so he decided to turn it into a funny ha-ha.
It's more of a statement.
It's actually
about
very similar to a situation American that's going politics. On in Maine right now, where a kid photographed a Bigfoot and then started getting bullied by his peers and recanted the story and said, never mind, I faked it, even though it was really apparent that he couldn't have faked it. It could have been some other person walking around out in the woods trying to hoax, you know, create a hoax, but the kid certainly didn't fake it, but he was bullied. So maybe the governor was bullied and felt like he needed to make fun of it.
Maybe he was bullied by the government. Yeah. And he came up with that genius idea. That's a really smart idea to
completely discount it by making it just funny haha. Oh,
maybe democracy is just actually failing completely.
No, that's one of the tactics that's been used quite a bit by the government to discount people, just turning it into like a complete laughingstock. Like, oh my God, that's hilarious.
I feel like they do that for themselves.
Yeah, well. Okay, so I'm really sorry.
So political.
I'm pretty much not going to say anything for the rest of the podcast because I've talked the entire podcast up until this
You're
point.
Doing a great job.
So you guys go.
We watched some trailers. It was kind of a cool week. Usually we talk about stuff that might not get released.
Or that only the trailers exists for it.
Yeah, but this week we saw a lot of cool trailers. Kelly, you didn't know James Wan for some reason until today.
No, I'm really bad about remembering directors' names other than a very small handful. So.
Well, who could forget the most famous Australian Asian horror director?
True.
James Wan. True. Who brought us The Conjuring, Insidious. Oh, bit by another dog. I'm sorry. I kicked your dog in the head.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Okay.
He doesn't keep anything important in there.
Insidious.
Which, I love his movies, so I don't know why I didn't
Saw 1 and 2, your favorite.
I don't love the Saws. The Saws are kind of lame.
But he wrote a movie. He didn't direct this, but it was called Demonic, coming out in February?
I'm not supposed to talk.
No, you can talk.
No, but I told me I couldn't talk.
This movie's right up your alley, though. I want to hear what you think about it. It's like a grown-up version of Ouija.
You just said you weren't going to talk because you wanted to eat Swedish fish.
Is that what it is?
No.
There's a 2-pound bag of Swedish fish on the table here.
So I grabbed some Swedish fish. It wasn't a driving... Never mind.
What I really like about this movie is it looks like they're combining found footage with a narrative story.
Super good idea.
I don't think anyone's done that. They've done like segments like that, but this, it looks like
they're carrying... The werewolf movie we watched did a little bit of that, but not. It didn't really go as far as it could have.
No, this is going to be really cool. It looks like it's been shot really well.
And the found footage looks like found footage, like in the werewolf movie.
No, that was like...
Yeah, it was like professionally shot.
The staged kind of footage. The stumbling. They show like the actual guy stumbling and then they show what his camera's seeing. I think that stuff's really cool. James Wan is producing this. He wrote it. And I think the director hasn't done anything super cool. But this
Great.
Looks like
so he's
it
got
might
kind
be...
of a blank slate.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I agree. I think it looks really good.
I'll give it a chance.
And then we watched the trailer for The Quarantine Hauntings that came out as well. We talked about that. In Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies. I don't think it looks great.
I just love the fact that it's based on an actual place that's rumored to be haunted rather than making something up for the movie. So I'm interested just by virtue of that.
I think that dead horse has been so thoroughly flogged already that I don't know what anyone
there
can
tons,
do.
There are tons that have like these ridiculously, you know, loosely based things. This is supposed to be pretty damn close to what people have reported.
I'm just done with blank hauntings.
Yes.
The, you know?
Hmm.
My favorite thing that happened this week was a trailer for The Lazarus Effect came out.
That's just because you love Olivia Wilde.
I mean, she's not even like in my top 25, but
really?
Yeah, but I think she's great.
I like her.
More so for Mark Duplass, honestly. I love him. He's one of my favorite directors and one of my favorite actors.
So. Our friends got a picture with him yesterday.
I saw that. Yeah, that was probably for a screening of Creep, maybe?
I bet. Yeah, I think something that's what like it was.
I thought it looked great. I was super excited, and then I saw that it was
PG-13.
Ugh.
See, you guys...
It makes me feel dirty even saying it.
Admittedly, looking at the trailer, it doesn't look like a PG-13 film.
No.
It looks actually scary. It reminds
Don't you remember the podcast we did a little while ago where we talked about PG-13 movies? We came to the conclusion that they're actually good?
No, I have no recollection of any podcast that we've ever done, and PG-13 movies are not good.
We've talked about PG-13 movies.
And Byron actually said, and I quote, uh-oh, I think Kelly's right.
I think you're confusing Byron with no one.
No, I think
he actually did say that.
I think the majority are not good. And most of the time, they're only PG-13 so they can get butts in the seats.
Okay, but the majority of R-rated horror movies aren't good either. It has nothing to do with the fact that they're rated PG-13 or R.
But the world is not PG-13.
Yeah, I would say that a good 70% of R-rated horror is at least worth watching, and I would say 1% of PG-13 horror.
That is such a melodramatic.
I wouldn't go that far.
You don't think there's 1%?
Jesus Christ. I think this looks good. That's the bottom line, is this might be the game changer, Sam.
It could be.
It also stars Donald Glover.
Who doesn't love Childish Gambino?
Exactly.
Come on.
And I know he's also a fan of horror. So
Backpackers.
Is that a track?
Do you not listen to Childish Gambino?
A little bit, on and off.
You should probably up that a little.
Hey, I was at Childish Gambino's first show.
I listened to him talk on...
By accident.
I listened to him talk on Community.
I may have been there without knowing what was going on.
You were an accidental hippie on transgender.
I stood next to Abed watching Childish Gambino.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And so
I don't have to listen to Childish Gambino.
Braun, I disagree.
I agree.
I'm
joking.
You got one vote from me.
Oh, jeez. Originally called The Reawakening. It's going to be in theaters in February as well.
And I think thank God they didn't call it Reawakening.
Yeah, that would have been bad. I think it's going to be great. This one, I am voting we watch in the theaters.
I am too. I'm
all
for
it. PG-13, it should at least get a theatrical release. Some big names.
We can do it in February. Woo woo!
That's all for trailer news.
Yeah, trailer news.
Hey, what do you say we review a movie?
Oh, we could do that. Did we watch anything tonight?
We did. We watched the remake? Sequel of The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
You're enjoying your visit here this evening. Now, on with the show.
The Town That Dreaded Sundown, an American horror film / meta sequel to the 1976 film
meta
under the same
sequel.
Name. That's what they're calling it.
Nice.
It's produced by Ryan Murphy, who does American Horror Story, Nip Tuck, all that fun stylized
Glee.
Glee. And it's produced by Jason Blum. Directed by Alfonso Gomez Rejon. So 65 years after a masked serial killer named the Phantom terrorized a small town called Texarkana, the so-called Moonlight Murders start all over again. Is it a copycat or is it something more sinister? A lonely high school girl named Jamie, played by Addison Timlin?
From season 4 of Californication.
She sure is. Yeah. With dark secrets of her own, may just be the key to catching him. Sam?
Yes, Byron?
What'd you think of this movie?
Have
you seen the original?
I unfortunately have not, because I've heard some mixed things about it. They're not on my list. So I actually did not have high expectations for this movie going into it. And I was very pleasantly surprised. I think the first thing that we all noticed, that I love the meta sequel term. I think that's really perfect for it.
I thought the whole time trying to figure out what we were going to call it.
Yeah, and we kept using meta and sequel, but somehow none of us are smart enough to stick those two words together to describe it. But it was definitely shades of the Scream franchise in the best possible way, I thought. From the opening scene, really reminded me of, without giving anything away, some very specific similar scenes in the Scream movies, but I thought it was translated very well and managed to be extremely unique. It was just a good modern slasher movie. It kept me guessing. I know we were all throwing stuff out there the whole time and ended up being mostly wrong, but like I said, I was pleased with how this movie turned out for us.
Great. Kelly, how do you feel about this movie?
So I know I'm supposed to be more critical this year. I really liked it, though. I thought it was really interesting. There were quite a few parallels to Scream, actually. But not...
It's weird.
Not to the point where I felt like it was copying it or ripping it off, but I felt like, I mean, there were a lot of the same themes that ran throughout with, like, this heroine who had overcome tremendous, you know, tragedy in her life, and this masked killer, and there's another similarity that we'll talk about once we say spoilers.
Well, we don't say spoilers anymore.
What do we say?
Dead giveaways.
Oh, right. Remember? So once we say dead giveaways, we'll talk about another comparison. Once we get comparison. Into dead giveaways. But I thought it was incredibly well done. I thought the acting... I wouldn't say the acting was like off the charts amazing. It's not like the kid in Babadook or something, but it was good.
Are we talking about that kid every week?
He's amazing.
He's great.
I want to give him an Oscar. Anyhow, it was good enough that it wasn't a distraction at all, which actually is kind of rare for
Chris Evans in Snowpiercer.
I thought he was way better than Chris Evans in Snowpiercer. Anyhow, the movie was great. It was really, really good and had a very good ending too, which is quite unique for horror movies.
You keep saying that, like you've never seen a good horror ending.
No, I've just seen... So Sam's thing about there not being
very many
PG-13...
It's just like they end right when I fall asleep.
No. Sam's thing about there not being many PG-13 horror movies that are good is kind of like my thing saying not very many horror movies end well. Because a lot of them don't. I mean, even some of my favorites. So I thought this was a very well done movie.
Like The Shining.
Shining is great. It's one of the few.
I was just kidding. I'm pulling your leg.
God, is that movie still a thing?
Byron, what did you think about it?
Well, of course, I brought up Scream as well in my review.
Sorry.
It's just weird. I want to talk about why we think that. I don't know what
it
is about.
Well, the girl escapes. You know, the beginning, the first murder, she escapes, doesn't get killed.
To me, it was more the meta aspect in the Scream sequels. And again, without getting
into... But it still feels like Scream 1, though, too. Like,
I think I agree. I think one of the big differences was the Phantom Killer in The Town That Dreaded Sundown. There's nothing amusing or delightful about him, whereas Ghostface is a bit whimsical. He fucks up a lot. We can all identify with
him. The Phantom in this movie is no bullshit. He's fast and brutal, and I thought of him more like a smart Jason Voorhees.
Yeah,
like,
a coffee table is not going to stop him.
No glass stopped this man. This man walked through walls, but like not in like a... Not in a Michael Myers, like, possessed weird way. This guy's a legitimate... It's a person, and he's mad, and he wants to kill you violently. I think it was well-paced. More than that, I think it was well-shot. There was not a wasted second in this.
I agree. I think almost any shot in this movie could have been the poster.
Exactly. And usually, like, people use these kinds of shots in the movements with the camera to, like, enter a scene, but... It was like it was carrying the whole film. There was no boring shot in this film. Even if they were still straight shots, they were beautifully framed. They had really interesting, like, symmetrical use of characters and color.
And very, very cool use of lighting throughout. And, you know, again, without giving too much away, some pretty cool devices, I thought, to... You know, illuminate the important scenes. Yeah. Beginning in the overheads... That kind of gave that surreal glow to the scene where
it did have some real surreal moments where that it was kind of confusing because you don't really know why, but throughout the movie, it goes in and out of that. Maybe the whole film feels kind of like that, but when they use the like blue lighting and really weird overhead lighting, it's a bit more obvious.
I think it fit though, because it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't have the feel of, you know, Texas Chainsaw, where it's just a filthy documentary of terrible things that happened. I mean, you get the idea that they're giving you bang for your buck. You're along for a really entertaining ride, but, you know, we're not trying to sell this as something that could happen in your house.
Yeah, no, this is definitely a movie. It's not, it's a film. It's beautiful. And I think it's mostly due to Michael Goy, who's the cinematographer. He did stuff for American Horror Story and that new show, Salem, that is starting season 2 yeah. pretty soon.
Which yeah. we need to watch. But American Horror Story, I mean, whether or not you like the show, I mean, if you don't, I mean, kind of fuck off.
I kind of agree. Fuck off. Because it's
beautiful. Come on, guys.
But it is one of the coolest shots.
It looks good.
Absolutely.
Even this season, I'm not a huge fan of this Freak Show season. It started off really strong, and now I feel like it's kind of weird, but it looks good. It yeah. always does.
Yeah. Okay, can we do dead giveaways?
I'm not done yet.
God, I really want to do dead giveaways.
You want to give away everything?
Yes, I do.
I think it had a couple really good light comical moments as well, which I don't think we should brush yes. over. It wasn't just like a straightforward, like, that's Scream-like as well. Like, interactions between the police officers aren't like super serious. And yeah. It's comic relief without having like, it's Henry Winkler comic relief from Scream. It's pretty much the exact same kind of feel. It's not super wacky, but it makes you feel okay.
Yeah, you're kind of momentarily thrown back into, you know, small town America. Minus Psycho Killer.
Yeah, just for a second. It gives you a breather without it being too goofy.
Yeah, I agree with you about the pacing. I think it was ideal. I mean, they ratcheted up the suspense throughout. There were the lulls served a purpose. They accomplished something. It wasn't just filling space in between the kills. I thought it was, all in all, very well. Sorry, I was,
no. That's I got exactly going what I'm on, saying. On the soapbox I appreciate again. That. No, that's good. And that's all I had to say, Kelly. You can
dead giveaways.
Are you starting dead giveaways, or are you side noting?
Well, I was side noting that the Wikipedia page for the actual killings has so many grammatical errors. Somebody needs to go clean that thing up.
Okay. Yeah. It's time for dead giveaways. This is the point in the show where we spoil a movie. If you don't want it ruined, I recommend you pause right now. Go watch The Town That Dreaded Sundown, which is available on VOD and mm-hmm. soon to be on DVD Blu-ray. Here we go. Kelly, ruin it.
So they have you thinking the whole movie, like slowly, and then it starts to build that this nice young archivist who befriends our heroine, Jamie, You start thinking, he's probably the killer. I think he's the killer. And there are all these little hints that start pointing you in that direction.
That's what I thought was going to ruin the movie, because it was pretty obvious they were playing it like he was the killer.
Yeah, and I thought...
For a while, like the good guy who's maybe a little creepy, a little off.
Yeah, and a lot of movies do that, but I was like, are they going to go through with this?
I kind of thought they were. And then it turned out to be a complete red herring. And as he walked home after having relations with Jamie, he ends up.
It was beautiful too.
Getting
there's
killed.
A pants shot that I can't get over. That pants off shot.
It, yeah, like, that was it good.
And then like slid up. Like all the camera shots are so fucking.
See,
good.
And you can notice those things much better than I can, because I am. Uh oh, did it again.
That's fun. Maybe
think,
we'll leave
I
that.
I think
one
it has in. Something to do with him.
He's maybe an alien, maybe a space alien.
Maybe that's why I ended up married to him.
He leaves the room. And anyhow, that's what happens.
So, I mean, it was pretty, but so he's walking home and he gets smashed in the face by the killer, and suddenly you realize, I mean, up until that point, they had become more and more heavy-handed with pointing things in his direction.
I felt like at that moment that he was coming over to deal with her, before she left.
Yeah, I thought so, for sure. They did a great job of manipulating us to think that. And for those of us who hate easy endings, we're sitting there going, oh, I hope this isn't what they do. And it wasn't.
I was afraid that would be the ending that ruined the movie, and that's why no one has been talking about this. Because honestly, no one has talked about this movie.
It has 9 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. It doesn't even make sense. This movie was great. And if I had been smart enough to be on the ball and watch this before the end of 2014, it absolutely would have made my list.
It would have been middle list for me as well.
I mean, like, it was agreed. Really good.
We were spoiling
this. See, guys, that's
this.
Two movies we agree on. Look at that.
Well, let's just wait until the numbers come out.
My numbers are always going to be higher because that's just me.
We'll see. Boyfriend's knocked out.
Chopped to bits.
She's leaving town, goes in a convenience store, and everyone dies, including her grandma.
Super sad.
Gets stabbed in the neck. Practical effects were great, by the way. The kills were really cool. Especially, I love a good trombone kill. This trombone kill was great.
I see so few people murdered with
brass,
musical instruments.
With brass, especially.
Yeah, yep.
This is always a weird moment out of the first movie. It's kind of a legendary slasher kill where the killer tapes a knife to the front of a trombone, blows it awkwardly, and then stabs the person in the back.
He's not a very good tromboner.
He's not great. And I thought they did it this time even better. I was worried that they were going to blow it, but I think they topped it. It looked great. It was a good combination of practical and CG.
And it managed to be just kind of like weird and disquieting, but not whimsical. Murdering someone with a trombone.
It tends to be whimsical.
Yeah.
But not in this situation. No. We were talking about kills, practical effects. The grandma gets killed, the gas station attendant gets killed, and then it starts this big final chase. Mm-hmm. It triggers the final chase where she runs into the town hall, city hall, or was that her school? What was that building?
I don't know what it was. It seemed like some almost abandoned.
Yeah, it was chained up for sure.
So I don't know what it was, but yeah, she runs in there and then her phone rings and it's the cell phone of the boyfriend that died at the beginning calling again, so that means that it's the killer who obviously took his cell phone after killing him. So that tips off the killer to where she is in this abandoned building, so she runs out and ends up again.
This kind of happened really fast. It ended fast, but maybe that's for the best.
I think it was.
So she ended up back in the woods?
In the swamp.
Behind the building, yeah.
Okay.
I think. Right?
Yeah.
Was that swamp behind that building? I never put that together. We just finished this movie and we didn't even talk about that.
She just ran out.
That felt weird.
It did feel weird. I don't. The bridge between the building and the woods or swamp or wherever she ended up. But so she goes and she's now out in nature and running from. And she gets hit with an arrow.
Which is out of the blue because at no point have we seen the Phantom Killer with anything other than his pistol.
And a trombone.
And a trombone.
And a knife.
But at this,
he had that sick silencer too, remember?
Yes. Yeah. Sam, I'd like to talk about.
Yeah, Sam, tell us how realistic the silencer was.
So, extremely realistic. They used the only, to my knowledge, the only revolver that's actually capable of mounting a silencer effectively, an 1893 Nagant revolver.
You're a crazy person.
I know. Isn't it insane?
That's amazing.
Yeah. He seriously people need to hear this so he can be a consultant for gun things on movies. It's
unlike
ridiculous.
One of the worst silencers ever in No Country for Old Men. That drives me nuts. Sense? No sense at all. Anyway, back to you.
How about Rick Grimes in The Walking Dead?
What about
they
Rick?
They improvised some silencers. Does that work? I think they did newspaper wrapped really tightly around it.
I could be completely wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, we really should make sure anytime there's a gun involved, we have Sam do an analysis of the gun legitimacy in this film. Was it realistic or was it?
I am a crazy gun guy.
I get to use that.
He knows.
That's the segment.
God damn it. I forget this is all forever.
If this is permanent.
But he's like a savant when it comes to gun stuff. It's crazy.
Jamie shot with an arrow.
Right.
In the leg, which is rad.
And it is totally surprising because he's just carrying a gun running behind her and then whap, arrow.
And she looks back and sees him. And then she's hit by another arrow. Was this shot by another person dressed like the Phantom, right? There was
Phantom Killer 2.
Was there two bows and arrows?
I think it was just the one.
Okay, but still, she saw the second guy at the same time.
Yeah.
So this is something that I had been thinking throughout the film, that there was potentially two killers, very similar to Scream again.
Yep.
another Scream.
That was the dead giveaway remaining parallel that I referenced earlier, if you recall.
Oh, okay. This is the dead giveaway.
Yeah.
Two killers. One of them removes his mask, and it's the deputy played by Josh Leonard. He is from the Blair Witch Project, is probably where everyone would know him. I think he was the main character.
Yeah, Josh.
He's also in a movie called Bitter Taste I watched last year. It came out in 2010. It's about Josh is a food critic, and he has been writing bad reviews for the chef, and the chef just lost his TV deal. So the chef, he ends up going and kidnapping Josh and making him cook all these different meals. And if he does it wrong, he punishes him certain ways. It's really a weird indie film. But Josh Leonard has done some really cool stuff.
Nice.
Josh is the killer. One of them.
And then the other one takes off his bag. And I'm just going to throw this out there. About 5 minutes before he took off the bag, like while this chase was going on, which I realize isn't that amazing. I called it.
I did not hear that.
Byron heard it. I called it. So it was the boyfriend from the beginning. He wasn't really dead. And there was this interesting part at the beginning where the boyfriend was getting stabbed by the killer, and the killer kept telling her, "Don't turn around, don't turn around." And you kind of like wondered, was he doing something weird?
We thought it was a bit rapey. Yeah.
But it turns out it was just because he wasn't really stabbing
him. But it did seem like he was loving him strong, possibly.
Until he shot him in the head out of left field.
Yeah, and then whammo, which makes perfect sense. I mean, because then it's much easier for him to get away after that point. And he's wrestling Jamie to the ground then after shooting the boyfriend that we thought was dead, but now he really is dead. And
Jamie's got a gun.
She manages to retrieve the gun that she's dropped. She got it out of her grandmother's.
The songs tonight just keep coming.
Jamie does have a gun.
She does. It's the one she got from her grandma's purse after grandma got shot.
And shoots Josh Leonard in the face.
Yep.
But get this.
He floats off into the swamp.
They say the swamp took the Phantom Killer.
It's the only burial he deserved.
They never found his body.
Very, very Halloween-y.
It was a bit Halloween-y. I don't think they're setting up for a sequel, though.
I don't think so.
I just think they're continuing this legend. I think in the same way that the original movie did, they're just letting it float because it's more fun to kind of
letting
have
it float like a corpse in a swamp, Byron.
Exactly. Great.
Who knows where it'll end up?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of fun.
The scene that I had mentioned that was the ridiculous parallel, I mean, ridiculous in a good way parallel between Scream 2 in particular, opens up with the premiere of the Stab movies in the theater, and there's the couple watching the movie. It ends up with the boyfriend getting murdered. Uh-huh. Well, this is how the Town That Dreaded Sundown opened. There, couple watching a movie, they leave, allegedly the boyfriend gets murdered.
Yeah, it feels exactly that same way, except throughout the entire movie, they're referencing the original movie so much more so than any time the Scream franchise did it. Like, at least in the Scream franchise, they like start separating throughout, but this movie is basically about the first movie.
The first movie, yeah. Texarkana has the tradition annually of showing the 1976?
76,
the original?
Yeah, I believe so.
The movie of the Town That Dreaded Sundown, and they make a Halloween tradition out of it. In this movie.
I think they still do. I think we should go to Texarkana right now. Let's pack it up.
No.
Let's hit the road, right?
Do not so, like Tejas.
So you heard the part where it's in Texas and Arkansas, right?
Yeah. It's, I mean, not the best states, but if you live there currently, it's a great place to be.
Absolutely. And I love
and I wish
Austin
I could live
was great.
There. I do like Austin.
That did absolutely nothing to unalienate the other Texas people that we've just alienated.
Austin's all right, right? This movie is all right, all right? I like this film a lot. I didn't know why it wasn't being talked about, and now I'm even more confused.
Yeah.
I'm giving it an
8.0. Nice.
I really enjoy this movie.
Nice.
And
I'm going to give it an 8.4.
What? You're just topping me. Your price is riding me.
Yeah, but I always give higher.
You are not going to walk away with the boat today, Byron.
Are you doing $1?
$1.
Oh, God damn it.
Sam, seriously though, what would you give it?
I would go 7.5,
wow.
I think.
Okay.
And I just...
Is that the highest average that we've given a movie?
So far. I mean, we've only done 8 episodes.
Did we give Tusk a higher one than that?
Maybe. I don't think I did. I don't think I gave it an 8.
Okay.
We need to talk to whoever was responsible for promotion of this movie because... some balls were seriously dropped. This movie went Blumhouse, under the radar, right? And it should not have.
It was a combination of Blumhouse Productions and Murphy Productions, Ryan Murphy's production company. So this movie has no reason to have not been talked about. And I'm very confused.
No sense.
I know that it
came out. If anybody has a reason or understands what happened with that, let us know. But we highly recommend you go check this one out.
And they released it in October. So,
yeah.
I don't know. What were people watching?
I don't know. This is as good, Annabelle? I think, as you can expect a modern slasher horror to get. And I mean that in a good way.
This is a good slasher.
Yep. I actually think it's better than a lot of the ones that you two go gaga over.
Well, you're stupid.
I mean, I'm not a slasher film fan by nature. So this one I felt was really, really good.
If you have seen this, why don't you send us a tweet and tell us what you thought, or tell us anything anyway at Fright Day right now. Or
if you can figure out why people shouldn't be watching this, explain it to me, because there are three people in this room that can figure out no possible reason that this was not a huge horror movie.
Maybe this is where people stop listening. They're like, I don't like these guys. They like bad films, but I don't believe it.
Maybe you're waiting outside our window right now as this airs with a sack on your head and a silenced revolver.
Guys, this was a good one. I'm glad we did it. Next week, this was a lucky mistake. We could have passed this over because we were supposed to do Rec 4 today.
Yeah.
See, laziness has paid off.
It's bad reinforcement for
Sam,
him.
Sam, you have to stop. You have to watch him next
week. I have
week
already stopped.
Because next... God damn it.
I have not started.
Byron, welcome to my world. This is what I deal with.
If you put things off for long enough, you might die before they actually become due.
This business we've
it's
gotten
due.
Into.
It's overdue. We need to
it's
watch
it's overdue,
because
next week we are going to be doing Rec 4 Apocalypse. Possibly the last Rec film.
Which comes after Rec 3, the final Rec.
The final Rec. We'll see what happens. It might be the end, and it might be a good closing of the book on the Rec series. We'll see, because Rec 3 was not my favorite film.
I hear it's terrible. That's one of the reasons I didn't get on Sam's case.
Rec 3, VHS 3.
We'll see. We'll see. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about all of them, but... I think we're done talking for tonight.
Bam.
I'm getting shreepy.
Mic drop.
Yeah, Byron has been shreep a shreep much more than Kelly. It's Byron's shreep a shreep night.
I'm trying to get our website going. Frightday.com it's been doing good, but we need to really step up.
Byron,
the,
it's been doing well. Can we please work on the grammar?
It's been doing great.
Great. That works too.
Done doing great.
It was done.
I'm working on a complete rebuild of the site currently.
Byron!
And it'll be done hopefully soon. But what can people be looking forward to on it this week?
Oh, in terms of articles?
Yeah, we're going to get a review. Maybe this is just a running joke.
Sam's going to review Mr. Jones, I swear he is.
No, let's just continually say it every week.
I don't even remember anything about the movie.
So Sam's
That's
review...
Okay. I'll nag you and tell you all about it again.
I'll just make it up. Mr. Jones wakes up on a planet he doesn't recognize and finds that he's being hunted by a race that he can't understand.
Don't give it
away.
Was
that Predators?
Save it for the website. Mr. Jones' review will be up this week. My review of Mockingbird should be up by the time this airs. And Kelly's going to write a list of... What do you want to do a top 13 of this week?
Ooh, I'll do any... Ooh.
Are we going to do most anticipated of 2015?
Yeah, I'll do the most anticipated 2015. And I also, if I've got some time, I'm going to try and dig a little bit more into some of the Phoenix Lights best stories, and I might put some of that stuff
All I have to say is Vanish better be on your list.
Yeah. There's just no reason that you shouldn't be checking out FrightDay.com next week. Or
no
this
reason
week,
at all.
Or right now.
Unless you don't like horror.
Then what are you doing?
Then you go and you read about Kelly's cryptids and conspiracies.
Oh, jeez.
That's what you do.
You're going
to
break.
P.S., you guys
should
check out the awesome logo I got. Thanks to Byron, our incredible designer. I have Kelly's cryptids and conspiracies logo, which might be my greatest pride and possession at this point in my life.
It's just a drawing, a digital drawing.
It makes me really happy, so happy that I might get a tattoo of
where
it.
She sleeps with it. Oh, God. Where could they see that? On your Twitter account?
You can check it out on my Twitter, my @ Kelly Fright Day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sam, you have a Twitter, right? You just started. You have a tweet.
Sam's tweeting.
Yeah.
And what is that?
So
I am Sam Fright Day.
You are officially Sam Friday on Twitter.
Yeah, I tweet it, people.
And I'm at Byron McCoy. Follow me there. I'm kind of exciting.
Super exciting.
I would follow him.
You do follow him.
You do currently. This has been a really cool week. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time, I'm Byron.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sam.
Stay scared.
Oh, God. We just saw that creature is, like, beet red. She's a lobster. Oh. Come sit in the shade with me, child.
What are you doing to your child?
Oh, Sam's going to be so angry at me.
You ruined your kid. Boy. Well, that was episode 8.
She was driving a motorboat earlier, and she couldn't see.
What is wrong with you guys? I hope you enjoyed it. Kelly, go take care of your kid.
I will. Creech. Oh, God. Okay. I've got Aloe. Okay. Bye, Byron.
Frightday.com. Bye.
You've been listening to an Audio Wool original, produced by Byron McCoy. Theme music provided by Cemeteries. For more programs like this, visit audiowool.co.